Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, Bakestown? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brendan behind the glass, and it's a Tuesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. No game three post-game reaction today, though. It was rained out in Philadelphia. Last time that rain interfered with a World Series game was in 2008 in Philadelphia. We just can't learn, can we, at Citizens Bank Ballpark. Who gained an advantage here? Who gained an advantage with yesterday's getting rained out?
Was it true the Yankees actually petitioned the league before the game to shut the roof?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I was just saying, because the Yankees, Brendan got it. Because, you know, they're so infatuated with the roof, and it should have been shut, and all the advantages they could have gotten that, you know.
I think it's a Major League Baseball thing.
I think it is.
But I'm sure that they have their, you know, hey, Robert, we want the roof closed, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
No, and I was saying, because obviously Philly doesn't have a roof either, but the Yankees would be that kind of team. Look, I said when you and I were talking about this yesterday, I think the Phillies, they benefit greatly by the decision last night. And I totally understand that you're not going to play a game three because you don't want, as we spoke about, you don't want the game to be decided by weather. You don't want some guy to slip or have some fluky thing happen because they were trying to fight and endure the ongoing rain that you were updating us on throughout the show yesterday. So they want to make sure the game is decided by the players on the field and the weather's supposed to be good the rest of the way. So I get that. The perplexing thing to me was adding a day off. That is one that I want to say unheard of. I don't know if that's the case.
It is precedence. So going back and looking at it, it is the precedence to do this in the World Series.
That they will still keep an off travel.
That they just slide everything back.
Okay.
And that is the precedence that I've seen. The 2008, when it happened, that was a suspended game, but the next day also got postponed. They never played game six or seven because it didn't go that long, but the schedule was that they were pushing everything back a day.
Okay. That's what caught me by surprise the most out of everything that happened last night. I think that the team with lesser pitching benefits by that. Now you don't have to start Noah Syndergaard in a game three, but we'll see how it plays out because, you know, they have, similar to the Astros a year ago, you know, they got a Wheeler that was less than 100% that did not look like himself, and Nola looked okay, but I don't think if you're an Astros fan, you know, you should feel like this is a massive advantage, and I feel like you're still in a good position.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, cry about it, but if you ask the question, which team does it favor, mm-hmm. which team gains the advantage here, it's the Phillies. I was unaware of the whole sliding back of the World Series. Quite frankly, I didn't think that that was an option. I thought that they were going to play 5 games, 5 days, and that's where I thought the Astros' advantage lied, was that they have the pitching staff to easily handle 5 games in 5 days. I didn't know that everything was going to be shifted back a day. Right. So now basically you have 2 off days while you're traveling to Philadelphia, and you still have that off day. So there's now 3 off days over the span of World Series starting between and the end of Game 7, whereas there was only 2. And that favors the team that has the less pitching depth. Also, the Phillies have totally reconfigured how they're putting together their starting rotation for the rest of the World Series, something that the Astros have elected not to do. So the Phillies are the team gaining the advantage by the rain yesterday in Philadelphia. They are the ones gaining the advantage with that game being postponed, and they couldn't have played baseball yesterday. I was following McTaggart on Twitter. He said it was absolutely pouring in Philly, so they couldn't have played. It wasn't like this light rain type of thing where they could have played through it. It was pouring. It ended up pouring. They couldn't have played that game yesterday. So there's really nothing there. Mother Nature kind of cost you any opportunity of playing Game 3 Monday night in Philadelphia. But when you ask the question, who does it favor the most, to me it's a no-brainer Philadelphia, and I think it's a pretty massive advantage. Now you mentioned Noah Syndergaard. He doesn't have to go in Game 3. Mm-hmm. He's probably still going to go in Game 5 unless he's used out of the bullpen in Game 3 or 4. But what it does, too, because you push the series back a day, Ranger Suarez can now start Game 3 and then could be available on full rest in Game 7. Philadelphia has pushed up their scheduled Game 5 starter, who was their Game 1 starter, in Nola, and they're using him in a Game 4. Because the series got pushed back, he'll now be available on 3 days rest for a potential Game 7, where it would have only been 2 days rest on the normal schedule. So advantage that Suarez gets to go twice fully rested. Yep. Advantage Nola could be on 3 days rest and available to either start that game or being used out of the bullpen as well. And then also the extra off day for a bullpen that has three or four high leverage arms compared to the Astros, who have like six. They gain the advantage there. The Astros, on the other hand, from their pitching staff, they're just keeping the status quo. They're going Lance McCullers today in Game 3. They had the option to also use Justin Verlander on full rest in Game 4, which then he could turn around and be available for a Game 7 on 3 days rest, and the Astros have already made that decision that they're going with Christian Javier. So for the Astros, it did nothing. For the Phillies, it's a world of difference.
It really is. And I think that from an Astros perspective, they probably looked at this long and hard, analytics and otherwise, but they know that Justin Verlander, for the majority of the season, though he didn't want to at a certain point in the season, he was getting that 6 day of rest. And when he was on 6 days rest, he was a different pitcher because of what's happened in the playoffs, because of the fact that he hasn't looked or been the same. I think that they probably took advantage of this and said, we can give him that extra day. We didn't think we were going to be in a position to give him, and it could only help him based on how he's pitched in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. We'll probably get into it a little bit later on like what this says about the Astros and the thought of using Justin Verlander and that they're going Javier instead of Verlander, and then also like the ramifications of not throwing Justin Verlander in Game 4. So I think we're on the same side of this, that it's advantage Phillies. Whether it's a slight advantage, a huge advantage, whatever, I still think the Astros are the better team. I still expect them to win the World Series. That's why I'm not going to drop any tears about this. But it is a favorable break for Philadelphia. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Do you think it's fair to complain?
I think it's fair to complain, except for the fact that once you looked it up and said that they've done this, you know, previously where they still keep the travel day in, that, you know, you can complain, but there is past precedence that says this is not something that you can point a finger at and say they're just doing this to the Astros or they're trying to screw the Astros. If this is what they've done previously and this is what they're doing again, then you just have to accept it. It's unfortunate because it's Mother Nature that's actually controlling the schedule that gives them an advantage to where otherwise the Astros had a massive advantage in this series, in my opinion. But you can complain. I just don't think that it's warranted as more than just, you know, spilled milk because of the fact that they've done this previously.
The way that I view it, to like relate it to a baseball term, is it's like a bad hop. Like, no one did anything wrong. Like, no one made an error. Sometimes in baseball, things just go against you. And whenever that does happen, you're like, oh, well, it's just baseball. This is like a bad hop. It's a bad hop that bounces over the first baseman's head and gets into right field. Can you still win the game after a bad hop? Yes, you certainly can still win a game after a bad hop. They just gain a small advantage because of the bad hop. Yesterday, Mother Nature in Philadelphia was a bad hop. Mm-hmm. The whole, like, conspiracy theorist that Manfred's out to get you, they're trying to extend the series to help Philadelphia. Like you said, if past precedence is telling you that in World Series history, they've moved the series back a date to, you know, accommodate for the postponement, that's what they do. It's the MLB protocol. It's just the way that it is in Major League Baseball. I am surprised that they did it. And I'm also surprised that Fox let them. The fact that that game now has to go head-to-head on Sunday night, potentially a Game 7 has to go head-to-head against Sunday Night Football. And I know that, look, Thursday was going to be an off day. You weren't competing against the NFL there. But you can live with a Thursday Night Football game, a World Series game taking place on Thursday Night Football when you have Philadelphia and Houston. Going toe-to-toe, I don't even know the Sunday night game, but I imagine it's a little bit better than Houston and Tennessee and Philadelphia.
It was okay. I remember they mentioned it a couple times. It's an okay game. I'll look it up, but at the same time, I think that you think that no matter how big football is in this country, you got to believe Game 7 of the World Series, people are going to pay attention to, and Fox liked that.
Titans-Chiefs.
Okay, and that's just okay.
Kansas City's a marquee team, though.
They are. They are, but at the same time, versus Game 7 of the World Series.
Oh, I mean, NFL is going to outdraw it.
I don't think generic sports fan outside of either market.
But to my point, if you're the Fox executives, you're going to get crushed in the ratings anyway.
Not if it's Saturday night instead of Sunday night.
You're still going up against college football.
College football doesn't rate as well as the NFL. Like, Game 7 Saturday night versus Game 7 Sunday night would draw way better.
But I also understand the fact that from Fox's perspective, they're going to get annihilated on Sunday night no matter what they have on the air. But if you have Game 7 of the World Series, there's a chance that you at least are a blip on – you get more ratings out of your Sunday night that would have been a complete wash.
Sure, but if you're selling the World Series to advertisers and they're like, oh, look at Game 7, that didn't do all that well, that's not a place that they want to be. Well, that's why the World Series schedule didn't have Sunday games on either side of it. Didn't have it at the beginning, didn't have it on the back end.
And the thing is
– and Thursday.
Game 1 – was the highest rated game one of the World Series in 3 years. So they liked the fact that they were riding that wave.
On a Friday night.
Yep.
They got rid of their Friday night.
So now you look at it and say, but I'm sure that there was a lot of discussions with Fox because that's their moneymaker and they have to check and sign off with them on everything. It's a bit surprising. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, you know, you're right. The NFL's the king and we know that. It's just that I'll be interested to see if it's a game seven, you know, how it registers.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't even come to that point. Hopefully it doesn't, right? Maybe the Astros can get it done prior to all of that. But who gained the advantage with the rainout, Mother Nature getting to you yesterday in Philadelphia? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And is it fair to complain about all of that as well? 713-780-ESPN. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. So yesterday I was out, right? Halloween, trick-or-treating, doing that whole thing in the neighborhood, all of that.
Me too.
I saw so much Astro stuff. Houses with, like, decor for Astros, people wearing Astro shirts, Astros jerseys. Houston is officially a baseball city. Do you agree? Do you disagree? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Halloween yesterday, we have kids. We were trick-or-treating. I saw so much Astro stuff around town, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but how'd trick-or-treating go for you?
So we had a system. And the system is normally laid out to where Lisa takes the girls with a group of the other kids in the neighborhood and they go in like a pack and they go do the trick-or-treating while I sit on the front porch and distribute the candy.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen such rude kids in all my life. To give you a small sample, I had a big plastic jack-o'-lantern with all the candy. We had great candy. In my mind, we had great candy.
What did you have?
We had M&Ms, both plain and peanut. We had Kit Kats. We had Twix. We had Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. We had Snickers Bites. We had a bunch of good stuff.
That's good.
And each kid got a handful from me, not one or two pieces.
Yeah, but you got little hands.
Okay, right.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
So I have big feet. there was actually a guy that we had done a remote for was walking his kids, and he goes, hey, I'd like you guys to do another remote. And so I went inside to get a business card because he goes, can I get your card? I came back out and there was a kid with his head literally in my big plastic jack-o'-lantern just going to town on all his candy. I go,
you say his head?
His head was inside.
How big is this jack-o'-lantern?
I mean, it was pretty massive. It's a pretty big circuit, you know, thing. And I go, get out of there.
Was he bobbing for candy?
He's like, well, I was getting what I liked. I go, I'll give it to you. How about that? While he's putting it back and getting his head out of my jack-o'-lantern, the kid that's with him goes, hey, can you go inside and get me a bottle of water? I'm thirsty. I go, what'd you say? He goes, I need a bottle of water. Can you go inside and get me one? I go, this isn't a CVS kid. No.
This kid's great.
And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah.
How old?
I mean, he's been out. You should give him some water.
12, maybe? 10, 12?
He's thirsty.
I don't know if I would call it rude.
He's been running around the neighborhood. He's a little thirsty. Give
him
some water.
There's boundaries that he's overstepping.
It's just a little bit of water.
Is it fair to say there's a way that could be asked reasonably?
Would you please give me some water?
Do you mind if I have some water?
You might have some
water. I'm really thirsty. Is it possible that you might have?
Yeah. I'm not saying he did it perfectly.
And let's be honest, like the whole candy thing, you shouldn't have left an unattended jack-o'-lantern out there.
So then I see on the Facebook page that several people just put out a big bowl with candy.
Yeah, that happens in our neighborhood too.
Yeah, and they were disgusted by the fact that within 15 minutes, not only was the candy gone, but the bowl. Someone took the bowl too.
Somebody took the bowl?
Yeah, and she was pissed because she said, now I can't even put out more candy for the rest of the trick-or-treaters. And then I had several 16 to 18-year-olds that didn't even bother to wear a costume and were using an H-E-B checkout bag to get candy. And I was like, really? You put that much effort in?
I mean, the choice to give them candy is yours.
Yeah. And I almost didn't because they didn't put any effort in. And then I had one girl. I gave her a handful of candy, but evidently, like, the corner of one of the Twix bar wrappers was there.
Yeah.
And she ignored the candy I put in her bag, and she goes, huh, you didn't give me anything but a wrapper?
Yeah.
And I said, young lady, I gave you a handful. And her mom goes, what's rude? And I go, well, she said I only gave her a wrapper. And she goes, oh. And they just turned and walked away. I was like, oh, boy, this is turning into a hell of an evening.
We did shifts, too, but we did like, okay, we're going to hand out candy until this time, and then we're going to go do the trick-or-treating. Because we had both of my parents and then my wife's parents were over there as well. And baby Branham's still too like young to obviously trick or treat, but right. Our older kid wanted to go out, so we're all just like, he had like a mob of like 7 or 8 people just following him trick or treating. But we were giving out candy. One kid, he goes, "Could you give me some more?" Like, I gave him a handful of candy too, and he goes, "Could you give me some more?" I was like, "What?" This kid had the audacity to ask me that, but look, he got what he wanted because I gave him some more. Oh, I couldn't say no.
Did you also have? I had another kid that said, yeah, I didn't want this. Can I? I'd rather have 2 M&Ms and a Reese's. I'm like,
yeah, I didn't have that, but I had this kid that asked me for more, and then I had another kid that asked me for a specific piece of candy before I gave it to him. He's like, could you give me some Reese's?
Oh, he knew you had them, though.
He could see what was okay. In my yeah. So he's like, could you give me Reese's or whatever? And then there was one kid who had like a peanut butter allergy, so I understand that. But anyways, when I was out there yesterday, I saw so much Houston Astros stuff, like license plate holders, Astros stuff. People had house decor, Astros stuff, Astros flags, everybody wearing an Astros hat or Astros shirt, people dressed up as Houston Astros. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, because look, football is king in Texas, right? Everybody has that conversation. Everybody talks about that. I believe that Houston is officially a baseball city now. Because like, if you look at the public support of all the sports teams in Houston, you look at the approval rating of all sports teams in Houston, you're just looking like at a scale of 1 to 100. There's certain things that go into that, like fan interest, that you, the reason that you like a team, whether it's the team's very exciting, the team has players you like. The biggest reason is you have a team that wins. And right now, the Astros are the 3 professional sports teams in the city. The 3 majors are the only ones winning right now. So I think the Astros get a lot of the attention from like sports fans in the city. Their fan interest is 100, whereas the Texans are probably like 20%. Yep. The Rockets might be even a little bit less than that. I believe that Houston is now officially a baseball city.
I think you're right. I think it's different. I still think Houston loves football, and so they are dialed into their college teams on Saturdays, and they're still, because of fantasy football and otherwise, big NFL fans. But I think that in terms of their true, like, wear their jerseys and be, and I think it's actually the right way of thinking, but I definitely think, because I saw the same thing you did. I saw Astro stuff all over the place with the trick-or-treaters, although I was disappointed that if you're true fans, me being the one to be the bearer of bad news that the game was postponed last night,
yeah,
was hard to believe for people that the entire family dressed up in Astros gear going ready for the game. And I'm like, well, they just postponed it. And then to see their faces in the letdown, I'm like, you guys are all blue and orange and you didn't know? Your phone in your hand?
I do want to say Joel's mention of college football, which we don't really talk about when we talk about like is baseball city, football city.
Right.
The experience of going out to a bar here on a Saturday is so, like, honestly, for me, when I first moved here, was one of the most interesting things. Because people care about Michigan in Detroit and a little bit about Michigan State. But if you go out on a Saturday, it doesn't really look like a big deal. You go out to the right beers bars on a Saturday here, and you have fan bases of all these different Texas schools in large groups. You got a big Baylor group.
Yep.
You got
a
big A&M group. That's something that, like, you don't necessarily see out in front of you all the time. That is really big here.
It is big here, but what I would say with college football is, like, if you look at Houston in college football fandom and you just look at it like in a pie chart, there's so many different universities that take a part of that pie. U of H, Texas, Texas A&M, LSU has a big fan base here. Texas Tech, obviously. Baylor, you just mentioned. Texas Tech, TCU. There's such there's so many slices of pie in the Houston college football pie chart. Where if you look at NFL, NFL still probably has a decent amount of different slices of pie. But a big chunk of it's going to be Texans. Then you have a pretty big chunk that's Cowboys, smaller chunk that's Saints. If you look at it from baseball, 99.9% of it's the Houston Astros.
Think about it. The difference being, too, transplants in Houston all still support their NFL teams, but transplants in Houston have a pretty good chance of jumping on the Astros bandwagon. That's something that I've noticed over time, and I'm one of them. Like, I converted to an Astros fan once I got here, and that's when they were losing 100 games, and then have stayed all the way through. I think that it was, for whatever reason, it was easier for people that are transplants to come here and then join the Astros bandwagon, whereas their loyalties in football have stayed loyal to wherever they first started watching NFL.
There's a pretty decent chat going on in the Twitch.tv/ESPN975 where they're kind of arguing about Texans, Astros, who like has this city. Good Talk Russ says if the Texans were 7-0, ... But they're not. Like, that's the point. Like, they're not 7-0. So, like, when you have this pendulum of, like, where the main interest is from a Houston sports fan, right now it doesn't belong to the Texans, and the Texans allowed that. I mean, the Texans were a playoff team a few years ago. They were on the brink of going to the AFC Championship for the first time in franchise history and hosting that AFC Championship game for the first time in franchise history. It didn't happen, and then they tanked immediately and hit rock bottom. The Astros have been going on this run here for the last 6 years that, you know, brick by brick, they've been building up this fandom in this city. And right now, the Astros, maybe I'm late on this too. Maybe I'm a year late. Maybe I'm two years late on this whole deal. But the Astros own this city right now. If the Texans were 7-0, would we be talking differently? Yeah, we would.
Look,
but they're not 7-0.
I mean, I lived it in the heat of all of the Rockets' success, that we were still constantly battling the monster of the NFL and the team, the NFL team in Houston. You know, and even when the Oilers were going through all their turmoil, a lot of people, though they hated Bud Adams, still were the utmost loyalists to the Oilers. And then when you got the Texans and the whole excitement of the new franchise and all that, and then it just steamrolled when they started having success, it was hard to match the Texans no matter what the Rockets were doing and where they were in, you know, in their season.
And look, does it who's winning, does that influence like who owns the city at that time? Yeah, I think so. And right now, the timing of this is helpful to the Astros, too. They're literally in the World Series right now, where the Texans are in the middle of a season in which they've won one game to this point and are coming off a humiliating offensive performance and one of the worst offensive performances that we've seen. I think a good barometer of this conversation is, quite frankly, Thursday night. I saw Paul's picture of NRG Stadium when he was there on Sunday, when there wasn't an Astros baseball game on Sunday, right? And it looked like it was 30% capacity. Thursday night, when the Texans are playing football and they're going head-to-head with the Houston Astros, who aren't even playing in this city, they're going to be playing in Philadelphia. I think it's going to be a good test to see like where the city's at. Astros, Texans, if you had to pick one.
I thought they were playing here Thursday night.
No.
I thought the Texans and the Eagles are playing here.
The Astros are.
The Astros.
I might have misspoken.
Texans, Eagles are here.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that Thursday's going to be a good barometer to see how full the capacity NRG Stadium is when the Astros are playing in Philadelphia. Because I'm expecting like 25% capacity of Texans fans. I think there's going to be a lot of Eagle fans there, but Texans fans,
I agree with you,
they're going to want to watch the Astros.
The transplant Eagles fans that have never, that don't get to see their team week in, week out, are going to come out to see the Eagles. But I think that those two club levels on the third floor are going to be jam-packed with people watching their TVs. They're going to say they were at the Texans game. They're going to be watching every pitch of the Astros game in the club level at the Star Bar and all those, you know, hoity-toity places in the clubs where they're going to be front and center to watch baseball at the football game.
713-780-ESPN. Is Houston an Astros city? Have they taken over the city? Man, it certainly looks like they have. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
I will tell you about my good friends at Vivia because, you know, straight trash, homie, is something that you need to take out. It's a deal we do on Mondays. But it's also part of a bigger deal because we're letting people know that as you get into projects that you're doing around your house, home renovations, maybe you're cleaning out your garage and your attic, you're doing things and you're thinking about all the ways you're going to upgrade your house and the interior of your house, garage, and attic, but you're not thinking about what you're going to do with the stuff you're getting rid of and how you can get rid of it quickly. Now you don't have to do it at all. You just have to go to govivia.com because Vivia will do it for you. 10-yard and 15-yard roll-off dumpsters brought to you, put into your driveway, small enough to fit comfortably in your driveway or around your garage area. Attractive enough to keep the HOA away, and the best thing about it is Five Star Service offers same-day delivery and pickup. They bring it in the morning, pick it up at night, take away all the crap so you don't have to. Give them a call today. Explain your dumpster needs. They're more than happy to work with you. More importantly, make it easy for you, painless, and they're going to help you every step of the way. Project managers do the same thing. They got a big project that they're working on. They need dumpsters. They go to Vivia too. Texas Custom Patios, who we know and talk about all the time here on the station, they use Vivia to take care of all their trash. If you've seen us at our ESPN golf tournaments, we use Vivia when we go and do our golf tournament at Wildcat. Tell them you heard about it on ESPN 97.5. Go Vivia.com. That's G-O-V-A-V-I-A.com.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Have the Astros converted this city to an Astro City? They're now an Astro City, a baseball town. Maybe I'm late on this, too. You tell me. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go to the HRMP listener line for Scott. Scott, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Hey, I think you're on point about the baseball taking over. I was born in Seattle. This last series with the Mariners was tough. Not going to lie, I'm an underdog. But I think that's why I like the Astros, too. They're gritty. Altuve never should have made the league, you know, and his work ethic. I just can't get behind the Texans and McNair and what BOB did to the city. And I've always been a Seahawks fan, and I don't think that'll ever change. But I love the Astros, and I hope they win it all and get Baker his ring. And I think you're right on point. I don't know if it's just the upper management of the Texans or what it might be, but you're right. Astros are taking over.
The Astros have had sustained success. But look, maybe people are saying right now you're an idiot. This happened in 2017 when this city was an Astro city. Look, we all hear the saying football is king in Texas, and that's true. Like, football is huge in the state of Texas. There's no doubt about it. Football is big in Houston. It's frustrating if you're a Texans fan that the organization, after, you know, incompetent move after incompetent move after incompetent move, turned what was... Look, people were frustrated that the Texans were only winning AFC South championships. I think that they were getting upset that they weren't going further and further. I don't think. I know that. Like, the job security for Bill O'Brien, even though he was winning AFC South champions, Brian, was pretty low. Like, they wanted more. They craved more, which you always should as a city. It's why I've been kind of disappointed that we're all so willing to accept mediocrity with these head coaching searches and, like, that basically have all of this, like... I guess, leeway for Nick Caserio that, oh, yeah, he's going to be the guy that leads us. And I like Nick Caserio. I think Nick Caserio is going to be all right at the end of the day, but he's certainly warranted of criticism. Meanwhile, the Astros, they've operated like a winning organization even before they were a winning organization. Like, Crane came in there and completely turned the way that they were doing things, where you didn't have Drayton McClain. Like, Drayton McClain was not spending any sort of money on player development, wasn't spending any sort of money on the minor league system. Jim Crane said, we're going to build there first. That's going to be our foundation, and we're going to reap the benefits of that and harvest what we sow because of that. And we've seen it all play out. But even though that Crane gets there, Crane is also the dude that wants more. Dusty Baker's is managing for a contract. We all think he's going to get it, but he's managing for a contract. James Click right now, he's GMing for a contract, and we might not think that he's going to get it. So, like, Crane has had sustained success, but also craves more.
He does. I think that, you know, there's some interesting sidebars that come out of what you just said, because one thing that I would ask is if, as much as they craved more with Bill O'Brien, when you had the lead that you had against Kansas City, no matter how much he was going to take some heat for how they lost that lead and lost the game, I thought a lot of people felt like they had made enough progress. Yeah, it sucked the way it ended, but that they felt like this was the beginning of the next big step to get to the conference championship and then keep going. But then instead of that, he traded DeAndre Hopkins. He started to essentially, like, just pull the bottom out from under the entire franchise, and that just let all hell break loose to where people started jumping off the bandwagon and really getting pissed off. If he hadn't have done that, if he hadn't traded Hopkins in the offseason, I think there's a pretty good chance that people would have stuck with him because they stuck with the Texans because that's where their loyalties were. I think as it relates to the
people were ready to cheer against O'Brien. Like, Bill O'Brien was getting heat even when he was
winning. But they weren't going to cheer against the team. That's right. The thing. Because of O'Brien and then the Hopkins trade, they already had it built up against Bill.
I was talking specifically about, like, the Hopkins trade. Like, people were already people were already against Bill O'Brien.
They were also
looking for other reasons to be against Bill O'Brien. So when Bill O'Brien traded one of the best players in franchise history, it's like, who in the world is this dude doing? Like, because he was, like, if it was Bill Belichick and you had all the world, like, all the faith in the world in Bill Belichick, you'd be like, okay, whatever. Like, we trust Bill Belichick. But they like DeAndre Hopkins more than they like Bill O'Brien.
They did. And they liked the fact that regardless of Bill O'Brien being a complete D-bag that everybody loved to hate with good reason, they loved a lot of the guys in that locker room. They still love JJ and they love D-Hop and they love these guys that kind of gave them that outlet to being Texans. That was the why they were going to still root for this team, no matter who their head coach and general manager was. But then you traded D-Hop, and then everybody was like, okay, now you're right. Now am I not only jumping off the Bill O'Brien train, which I've been off, now I'm jumping off the whole red, white, and blue and the whole, you know, Bulls on parade. I'm out. Until he goes, and then Easterby made it worse. From an Astros perspective, what I really appreciated was we always talk about reading between the lines with Caserio and some of these other general managers that say, you know, when Rafael Stone got hired, we're still chasing championships. Are you, though? What I liked about the Astros was they basically admitted, we're going to rebuild this thing and it's going to be a while. We're going to tear it down to the studs. We're going to take our lumps, but we're going to rebuild it the right way. And people were okay with that because of the honesty. Because they weren't trying to pull the wool over your eyes to say, we're trying to win championships. So there were people a year or two that were trying to get more information on the Oklahoma City 89ers at the time because George Springer was their prospect that was coming up, and they wanted to see the Altuves get some run, but it was because they had accepted where they were and they were okay with it as opposed to being fooled.
They also turned them off for a while. They also didn't pay attention to the Astros during that time either. Attendance numbers were awful. They were getting 0.0s on TV. They were a laughingstock in Major League Baseball. So, like, that's kind of where the Texans are now. And people turned off the Astros during those years. I think football's harder to turn off because you only play in 17 games as opposed to 162. It's easier to be invested in those 17 games. And football, obviously still very important. Like, people on Twitch are saying Roughnecks greater than the Texans. Look, we carry Roughnecks football in the past. Mm-hmm. I guess we hope
Johnny
to someday as well.
Love the
Roughnecks. Love the XFL. I got a good friend of the coaching staff in Houston. So I very much appreciate the Roughnecks. I'm not going to go crazy and say Roughnecks greater than the Texans.
Here's the other thing about Houston in general, though. And Brendan, you can chime in as well. This conversation happened this morning with my buddies at the gym. One's a diehard native Chicago fan. One's a New Yorker and a diehard Yankees, you know, Giants fan, all and the Knicks. And they were like, what's with Houston and the fact that it's so fair weather and the fact that fans don't show up regardless of how good your team is? And, you know, they're always showing up late and leaving early. And we've had these discussions before, and that's where people come up with all the excuses. I think a lot of it is because from a lot of the other sports, the transplant in you doesn't get you as passionate as the people that are from here in terms of especially like with football. You keep your allegiance because football, that passion seems to be so much deeper and you bleed your team. But with baseball and basketball, I think it's more, you can be swayed by where you live and the people around you.
I think that what I would say, I kind of agree with where you're going. If you're trying to pick a team, this is definitely an Astro city. If you're trying to pick a sport, I still think it's a football city.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Joel's right that people have a harder time letting go of their football team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of that, like, let's be clear, if the Texans were the Astros, I think they'd be a fan of both. But I do think it is much harder to let go of your football team than any other sport.
Yeah. I think that's probably true. I think the sport is greater, football versus baseball, but because of the Astros' accolades and success, they own the city, and they own the city right now. It's very clear to see just walking around the streets.
You could call it fair weather, Halloween. But a lot of times, too, it's you know, you could base it on winning, too. And then because you've had sustained winning by the Astros,
yeah,
because we say this is the golden era of Astros baseball, because while the other two teams have been wallowing in mediocrity and trying to figure out who they are again, you've had a baseball team that's been basically as dominant as any team on the planet, and the people love and they gravitate to that.
I honestly think that that's like the majority of sports teams in cities, though, where that, like, that it takes winning to fill up the stands each and every game, each and every season. There's some exceptions, like the Northeast, I think, is exceptions. West Coast isn't like that at all. Go to Florida. It's not like that at all. I think that the majority, like the popular opinion here and the popular like way to fan, is more like Houston than it is Philadelphia.
I think it's more to say about the NFL, though. Think about how many years Cleveland sucked, but the Browns fans in the dog pound were there every single game,
but I would say
no
that's
matter
the
what.
Exception. Go to Cincinnati. How is it there? Like, I think that's the exception.
I think that you go to, you can't use New England because they've just had a sustained level of success as well. But I think Giants fans, for the most part, were still always going to Giants games.
Northeast.
Jets fans.
Again, the exception. Like, at the Northeast, I think, are the main exceptions. Like, Northeast, they're going to support.
Bears fans, they've sucked for a long time, and Bears fans are still loyal as hell, too. Vikings fans. I don't know, you know, Brendan, you can speak to the Lions fans. They still go to Lions games, and they know they're going to suck.
They come in and out, where, like, here I think you need to show proof of...
Have in Detroit what you have here in the Texans, though? If they're bad, you're only going to get about 25,000 in the stadium?
No, definitely not that. You might only get 40,000 by the end of the year. But I would bet... I'm going to the Packers game. Well, it's not a great example, because there will be a lot of Packers fans. But I'm going this weekend. Bet you it'll be a sellout. Okay. A lot of Packers fans there, but it'll be a sellout.
We travel well.
713-780-ESPN. Astros, have they taken over the city? 713-780-3776. Also, speaking of the Texans, today is a big day in the NFL. It's trade line day in the NFL. Would you be disappointed if the Texans do not make a move? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Cannot wait. Baseball back in action tonight. And I'm going to be sitting down with a favorite drink of mine. Gentle Ben. I don't know if I'm doing the vodka yet. Maybe the gin, maybe the bourbon. I still have to decide. Still have time to make that decision. They're all part of the rotation for me. I got a loaded rotation. And Gentle Ben Spirits, they do all of those better than anybody else. The vodka, the gin, the bourbon. Why? Because they have a state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that's better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben. Compare it to your brand. You're going to taste that huge difference that you know I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, A&M Class of 85, by the way, had me out to the tasting room to see what I thought. And ever since then, I've been a Gentle Ben man. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. How about you enjoy your drink? Don't work through your drink. You can find the Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. And some big news from Gentle Ben. You can now find that bourbon of theirs on the market as well. Double platinum award winner at the Ascot Awards this year, and it's now available out in the public. You can find it at most Specs locations around Houston. Go to Longhorn Liquor in Mount Bellevue. Galveston is a couple of spots. Economy Liquor, Pearland. Find it at Pearland Fine Wine. Potter's Liquor in Friendswood. Peter's Cut Rate in Angleton. Reserve Liquor in League City. You can finally get your hands on that bourbon out to the general public, and you'll love it once you get your hands on it. Also, if you're looking for a perfect place for a private party or event, that tasting room in Alvin, perfect spot to hold that private party or event. Sit back with good company, raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get into the trade deadline talk in just a moment, but everybody wants to weigh in on this. Is this an Astro City conversation? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go there now. John, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to let you guys know, first of all, that I think you have a great show.
I'm off a couple times
during the week and periodically, and I just caught you. I listen to you guys whenever I'm off during the week. So you guys have a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
And hey, so I'm a 50-year-old native Houstonian, you know. Who is my allegiance to or number one on my list or my most attention in the mid-90s? It was the Rockets, of course. Yeah. You know, I mean, in the early 2000s, you know, the Astros, a lot of disappointments in the playoffs, of course. I was big with them, you know, and the Texans just take it off. My point is, I think from year to year and decade to decade, I think some teams just take our attention more because whoever's more successful, we're going to gravitate to. It's human nature, right? Of course I'm still am I still a Texans fan? Of course I am. But am I going to go give them money right now? No. But, you know, of course, you know, Astros are number one right now. That is what it is. That's kind of my point. You know, it's cyclical. You know, I'm a fan of all the teams. Basketball is maybe down third, just political stuff, but I still love the team, you know. But, you know, I just think that's the thing. It switches allegiance from year to year, decade to decade. And can I ask one last question?
Sure. Before I go?
Mm-hmm. So do you guys station – I know this – I get real nervous watching the World Series, and I've gotten to the point where I'm putting music on. So during the game, I get too nervous. Does your station, when it has the World Series on, is it still going to have a delay on the TV?
Probably a certain delay, but if you have like a DVR or TiVo, John, I would recommend just trying to sync it up.
Yep.
Yeah, try to figure out like when the 2-1 pitch is being delivered, and, you know, play the whole pause play game.
You can get it pretty close.
Yeah, you can get it pretty close. I don't know. I guess it depends on what like subscriber you have. Like I have Hulu. I probably couldn't do it because Hulu's probably
later. I do
later.
With DirecTV.
There you
all
go.
The time.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could probably pull it off if you have like DirecTV or a cable. If you have something like Hulu where you cut the cord, I couldn't pull that off because I would be like whatever's happening on Hulu is like a minute behind, whereas the ESPN national radio call is probably like 30 seconds.
You might be better off with an illegal stream than like a Hulu stream.
Yeah, probably.
In terms of timing,
I have to stay off Twitter when live sports is going on. Like Hulu has live sports, kinda. They're kind of like on a minute delay live sports, but to each their own. I think John brings up a good point. It is about like what you've done for me lately. I don't think that we can ignore that. And if we're being completely honest, like. Our show a lot of times is dictated by the biggest stories in the city, right? From a sports perspective. When we're putting a show together, we're trying to talk about what is hot. Studies have been done on this, and football usually is king, right? There's a reason that football is talked about a ton. There's a reason that the Texans are talked about a ton. The problem that I have, like, whenever you have this discussion is I think that it changes not only, like, all the time, but it changes by, like, the minute. If Brandon Cooks got traded in the next 2 minutes, all of a sudden the biggest story is Brandon Cooks, right? At least for that period of time. At least for, like, the next few hours until the Astros are about to deliver first pitch of Game 3. But this changes not only day by day, year by year, but, like, second by second.
And I think that's indicative of, like, social media and the way people's attention span changes it. Well, they used to say it was a 24-hour news cycle. Now it's 24 seconds because the minute something new pops up, it catches your attention and then people are engaged in that. That's why we've been more about trying to play to our crowd as opposed to being told it's a football town, so you talk football, and the majority of time you should just talk football. We're constantly trying to figure out what is the attention-grabbing Houston-based topic that is going to get the most people engaged and want to participate. And that's why we're proud of what we do, because we're able to adapt on the fly based on what's happening and what you guys are reacting to. So we're not going to force feed you football if the Texans are ridiculously bad and there's nothing going on when you know you have what you have going on with the Astros. Now, I can't explain to you that if the Rockets tree falls in the woods and no one knows they played the Clippers last night, that might not ever take precedence until baseball's done and the Texans are, you know, whatever they are.
We watch it. We pay attention
to
it. Doesn't really register on the Richter scale just yet, right?
Yeah, so we take our personal feelings out of it a lot of times to kind of dictate to what you guys are talking about. And obviously right now, everybody's talking about the Astros.
And there's a lot of force feeding of subjects, topics. A lot of times it's Texans, especially if you go to the highway to hell.
Yep.
We try not to do that.
That's right.
Sometimes Texans is going to be the priority. Sometimes it's going to be Astros. And right now, Astros in the World Series. The city of Houston likes the Astros more at this current point of time than they do the Houston Texans.
Our program director, we've always said we'd like to be dictated by you guys, the listener, and what's hot and what's topical. And sometimes you guys run with that too far, and then we have to kind of fire you as program director. But other than that, that's why we try to dictate the show that we do, because we want to stay current like social media and be – you know, we want to be conducive to whatever's the hot, whatever just happened.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes too, that producer spot, it's only part time. So a lot of times people actually have the other half.
How long is this going to go on?
Probably the rest of the year at least.
Well, until you go like a full month without any more time off.
I don't believe so. I'm going to have one day off for that procedure get moved.
So this is like. Have you had a week where you've done a Monday through Friday straight through?
Last week.
But in the month, you
No,
had...
I didn't last week. This week.
This week.
Okay.
This week you say, but you are going to another road trip to another football game.
You're going to slip in a last-minute day off?
I think the Monday is in question right now.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just day-to-day.
I mean, you're going to the Packers-Lions game, and you can't travel same day, so that means Monday's in question.
Watch my plane get delayed and me miss Monday.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Texans may make some moves today. The trade deadline is, what is it, 3 o'clock, I believe?
3 o'clock Central.
3 o'clock Central. A couple of names that are – actually, there's only one name I've seen involved in trade discussions, and that's Brandon Cooks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. DJ Bienemy, who covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, and he's a very fast human being as well. He says he does not see Brandon Cooks at practice today. Says he spotted Laremy Tunsil, has not seen Brandon Cooks. Do you think Brandon Cooks will be traded today? And would you be disappointed if the Texans do not make a trade today?
I don't know if I'd be disappointed, but I would question what Nick Caserio is doing when he knows the team is not going anywhere this year, when he's seen enough to realize there are guys that are checking out, at least one guy in particular in Brandon Cooks, both with the way he's acted on the field and the way he's acted on social media. And if they truly are, whether Easterby's there or not, culture-based, that's not helping your culture of young players to develop and grow and build this team camaraderie going forward. I think if, you know, you and I had the discussion yesterday about Tunsil and we disagreed on whether he should stay or go, but if he's been a good soldier, then you don't have to necessarily, you don't have to trade him, but you should be listening if people pick up the phone and want to talk to you about him. I saw the Texans inquiring about other players, but I think the main thing for me would be, as we talked about how non-conducive it is to trade Brandon Cooks because of his contract, that a lot of teams now are stepping up. The Bears, for instance, in trading their two best defenders, have stepped up to absorb salary for the trades so that they could get picks back that were more meaningful picks.
Yep.
If the Texans are willing to take on a majority of the salary for the rest of the season for Brandon Cooks, understanding that the team is going to have to take on $18 million for next year, fully guaranteed for Brandon Cooks, then you could possibly get a deal done. If you are not willing to participate in that finances, that financial agreement, Brandon Cooks is going to be a Texan.
You're basically paying for a better pick. Mm-hmm. And Nick Caserio did that with Bradley Roby, where he took on a good chunk of that contract to prioritize the pick that the Houston Texans got back in return. Now, Brandon Cooks could also be a factor in this. He could agree to restructure his deal. Now, I don't think you can do it anymore. I think that, or you have to wait till the offseason. The deadline to restructure players' deals, I know that it was at least for the current team that they're on, mm-hmm. was yesterday afternoon. I'm not so sure if it's like the team that you're going to, if you can restructure after that deadline. I really don't know. I know it's the
I
current
team. I think once you're on their payroll, maybe. Then you can, going forward, you can restructure going forward. Probably
I think
might
it's more
mean
about the cap.
Adding a deal? I mean, adding a year to the deal?
I think the deadline yesterday is more about the cap and what it means for trade mm-hmm. ramifications of, like, because, again, the NFL is a salary cap league. But once you're, like, past that deadline, the trade deadline's gone, then you can reconfigure your deal. So Brandon Cooks could be a factor there. Hey, new team, I want to play for you. I understand my contract's kind of cumbersome. I'm willing to rework it for you to make it a little bit easier for you. One thing that really bothers me about Brandon Cooks, after the game on Sunday against Tennessee, they're asking him about trades, and he's like, oh, I'm not going to talk about that. That's internal. That's something that I'm not going to talk about. Yet this dude goes and likes every single yeah. trade rumor on Twitter. Like, if you're going to keep it internal, keep it internal. Whenever you say to the media and the press that you're not going to talk about it, and then behind closed doors you go basically talk about it by liking all these tweets, I can't respect a dude for doing that. I really can't.
What do you call it? Passive aggressive.
Yeah. Like
you can't sit there and like all these things on social media, then blow off your media
sure.
session. And you haven't blown off your media session all year. And it's one thing to say,
well, not
you're
even
injured.
That. Not even that. But after the game, he spoke in the locker room. It's right. like, I'm
and
not talking about that.
But I'm saying, but leading up to it, though, you haven't missed your media session all year. And then you are going to miss it. And then your excuse for missing it isn't the wrist injury we found about later
right.
that puts you questionable for the game. It was a lift. When you know those lifts haven't gotten in the way of you talking to the media all year.
Like, and I'm okay with liking stuff on Twitter that says that you're involved in a trade. That's fine, but be consistent. Whenever you're asked about it in the press conference after the game or in the locker room after the game, be like, yeah, that's something that intrigues me. Like be honest. If
or
you're going to be honest on Twitter, be
hacked.
Honest. He's not hacked.
But,
get out of here.
You know, Doc Rivers, other people. You know, the easy
best
answer is always,
in the world.
I've been hacked.
I would be disappointed if the Texans don't make a trade today. I don't think they're going to do anything. Like, there's not going to be a whole lot of volume. I don't think the Texans are going to make tons of moves. I think they're going to make one. But I would be disappointed if Brandon Cooks still on this team after today, because I'm sick and tired of Brandon Cooks' antics. I don't think they're going to get much for him. Chase Claypool just went for a second. Part of that's because he's on his rookie contract. The finances make sense. That still seems like a lot. I don't even care what the Texans get back for Brandon Cooks at this point. I just no longer want him to be a member of the Houston Texans.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked Tunsil. We've talked Cooks. Is there anybody else on
Jerry
this
Hughes.
Roster? See, but Jerry Hughes to me was a homecoming because he's from here.
But if you get a fourth, if you get a fourth for Jerry Hughes, absolutely.
I think they did him a solid, and it was a solid. It was an agreement on both sides. I think they're going to honor that. I don't think they're going to trade him because he came home.
Well, that's bad business. Like I would
unless
say,
he wants to go.
I would say that's bad GMing. If Nick Caserio has a fourth round, and I don't think he does, but if Nick Caserio has a fourth rounder on the table for Jerry Hughes and he's not doing it because of loyalty, the dude doesn't deserve to be a general manager in the NFL.
I think to the point of depending on when you look at the other guys, that the other guy they brought in, Stevie Nelson, I think that if you look at veterans, you got to look long and hard at, do I think he's going to be here for the next 2 to 3 years, or can I get more by getting even more draft picks so that I can continue to get guys that are going to be here for 3 to 5 years?
Yeah.
I think Stevie Nelson's been so good, and he's still young enough that I think you keep him around. Jerry Hughes, I'd be surprised if anybody gives you an offer worth considering, but I think it has to be up to Jerry Hughes because that was a kind of a feel-good deal between him and the organization to come home. He's from Sugar Land. I think that if he wanted to go somewhere else to play for a winner or play for a team that's interested in him, then fine. But I don't think you just up and trade him.
Why not?
Because I think that they had kind of a handshake deal as to, I'll come home for less to play for you with a chance to be closer to family. You don't just uproot him then and say, you know what, we want to get something for you. We're going to dump out on you now.
If you could get a fourth rounder for Jerry Hughes and all those things that you said are true and you're in the shoes of Nick Caserio, do you make that trade?
You don't
even tell Jerry Hughes. Like, you don't even get the opportunity to be like, hey, Jerry, we got this deal on the table. Would you be willing to do it? Because if the NFL is cutthroat, if I'm a GM, I'm trying to find every advantage for my team. I do it like that and tell Jerry Hughes, hey, you just got traded to Minnesota.
Well, that's the anti-Rafael Stone, right? Who wants to be the player's general manager? You just know word's going to travel fast, and you're not going to get those sweetheart deals of people that, you know, it's Daryl Morey all over again, too, where Daryl Morey, no one trusted Daryl. If he said he loved you, he could hate you, you know, when the next best thing comes along. And you have to be willing to accept that if you're going to go play for the Rockets or play. That would be what would happen to Caserio.
Bob Nightingale, who's all of a sudden a hero in Houston, he joins the Killer Bees next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you right now about the good people at Doc Linville's office. Doc Linville's the best at doing the NeoGraft procedure. If you're not familiar with what that is, it is a way to get your hair back on your hairline, on the back of your head, areas where you lose hair quickly, you're thinning and balding. You think all I can do is shave it off or get those sprays and creams and foams that mask it. Nope, the NeoGraft procedure is actually taking your own hair, putting it where you need it, and having it stay there for the majority of the rest of your life. That's because Doc Linville has mastered the process. For you, the ESPN listener, what you need to know is you can get all the information, ask all the questions, find out what you need to know, all for free because you listen to us. It normally costs $150 to have a consultation with Doc Linville's office. Now you get it for free by going to 975hair.com. You can find out from finance options and what it costs to how long the procedure will last to when you'll see the full results to the fact, like me, the game changer was 95%+ of the follicles moved will stay and grow and be with you for the long haul. That's what sold me. That's because I know that after talking to Doc Linville, genetically, you're never going to lose the sides and the back of your hair, and you can use it to actually have more coverage area in the areas where you do lose your hair, the top back and the front in your hairline. Check them out today. I couldn't be happier with my procedure. You should be the next in line. Go to 975hair.com and see my friend Doc Linville.